Let me pray for us, and then we'll get stuck into the scriptures together. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for what we've experienced already this morning, celebrating the start of Advent, most importantly, celebrating and reflecting on the victory won on the cross. And Lord, as we turn to the scriptures now, would you help us to talk ever more in the footsteps of Jesus? Would you help us to become ever more Christ-like in our attitudes, in our outlook? Help us to be kingdom-focused, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'd like to read some scripture. It comes from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 40, if you have your Bibles. Isaiah 40 says this, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. How prepared are you for Christmas? Are you ready? Who here has done all their Christmas shopping? I have. I don't have to do much, to be fair, but what I have to do, I've done. That's the important thing. Who here has at least made some plans for Christmas, be it plans for food, plans for visiting people, anybody visiting family, anybody having family visit them, that sort of thing, yeah. Anybody going away on holiday for Christmas? Oh, I'm surprised. Well, we're kind of now, you know, now it's the 1st of December, we're in that planning mode, aren't we? We're starting to get geared up. Why? Because Christmas is only 24 days away. And what that means is Christmas is only 24 shopping days away, as we shop on every single day of the year, it seems. Every day is a shopping day. But it's not long, is it? 24 days is not a long time. We know that in 24 days, a big event is happening. So we're getting ready. We're gearing up. We're making preparations. We want to be prepared for it. Yeah? We want to be ready. And I think it's easy to make preparations when we have a date to work towards. I know that, funnily enough, in church life, nothing really happens unless you put a date in the diary. Funnily enough, I had a conversation with the Whites last night. We were talking about we needed to do something at the end of January to, because January is such a, I hate January. I really struggle with January. It's such a dull month. And we thought, well, we'll have a bangers and beer evening, which we've done for the men before. And so we didn't do anything other than set a date. Fourth Friday in January, we're going to have a bangers and beer for all the men of the church. All right, so put that in your diary. But we haven't made any more plans for that, but we know that if we put a date in the diary, it will happen. If we just talk about the event without the date, things just drift on and on and on. Putting a date in the diary gives us something to focus on. But sometimes, particularly in the journey of faith, we're asked to be in a state of preparedness, if I can put it that way, without an exact date to work towards. How do we do that? How can we stay in a prepared state when we don't quite know when things are going to work out? Now, I've been reading this passage in Isaiah this week. This is a traditional Advent reading. It's an early reading in the Advent season because it's speaking of John the Baptist ushering in Jesus being born and all that. I feel sorry for Isaiah, though. As I've been thinking about this week, I feel really sorry for Isaiah. He had a really tough message to proclaim. He was speaking to the southern kingdom. Those of you who've done the Bible course will know what I'm talking about. But he was speaking to the Israelites in the southern kingdom. He was speaking predominantly in Jerusalem, to the people in Jerusalem. And it was a really tough message to bring. He's speaking to a group of Israelites who at that time were not particularly God-fearing, who are not living lovely, devout lives, worshiping God. These were people who are going seriously off track. So much so that Isaiah's message is, hey guys, unless you change, unless you turn from these ways, judgment is coming. That actually Jerusalem is going to be invaded. The Babylonians are coming, you're going to be carried off into exile, the city's going to be utterly razed to the ground. This is disaster coming your way unless you do something. And I believe Isaiah is desperate for the people of God to repent, to sort of, if you like, mimic the people of Nineveh when Jonah went to preach. You know, I'm sure Isaiah had it in his heart, maybe, just maybe, there's a chance that if I proclaim this message of judgment, the people of God will put on sackcloth and ashes and repent and judgment can be avoided. Alas, it didn't quite work out like that. It's a tough message to bring, to point out people's faults and tell them of their need for God. However, in the midst of Isaiah's message, there is a silver lining, a glorious silver lining. Isaiah prophesies a day when, after judgment has happened, God himself will come and rescue his people. God himself will come and be with his people and redeem his people. What a wonderful, hopeful message that is. And with that in mind, Isaiah foresees this voice calling in the desert, that someone will come, someone will be raised up, who will say, hey everybody, it's about to happen. Get yourselves ready, the Messiah is coming. I wonder how many people believed Isaiah when he proclaimed that. Not many, I dare say. And I feel for Isaiah because when Isaiah is preaching all this, he didn't have a time frame to work on. I think he believed that judgment is imminent, that the Babylonians are gearing up and they're going to invade. But this silver lining aspect of his story, did he think it was going to happen in his own lifetime? Did he think it was going to happen in a couple of generations' time, perhaps? Indeed, it did happen some 600 years later. I tried to work that out in generations, and if a generation is what, 30 years, say, that's 20 generations' time this prophecy will be fulfilled. That's a long time to wait. It's a long time to stay in a place of readiness for the coming Messiah, year on year on year, when nothing seems to change, nothing happens. It's not easy to stay in a place of preparedness. And yet, as Christians, that is what we're called to be, perpetually in a state of preparedness. Prepared for Jesus' return. How many of us really think, what if it's next week? Could it be next week? Could it be tomorrow? Could it be this afternoon? Is it going to be next year? How many of us really live in a state of being prepared for when Jesus comes again? More than that, in fact, how many of us live in a state of being prepared simply for what God is going to do next, knowing that God is doing new things all the time? As much as we prepare for Christmas, this sure and certain event that we can point to in a diary and say, on that day, this is going to happen, that's how we should be in our preparedness for what Christ wants to do in our midst. So what is it to be prepared? What is it to live a life of being prepared? What does preparation look like? Well, let's have a look at John the Baptist. Matthew 3, verses 1 to 6. And so this is the voice, 600 years later, this is the voice calling in the desert. Chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." So I've got a couple of questions for us to think about today as we head into this Advent season, this season of preparation, thinking about the coming weeks, but also into the coming years. It's two questions. What are you prepared? If we're called to be prepared, what are you prepared to do? And what are you prepared for? What are you prepared to do? And what are you prepared for? Let's deal with the first of those questions. What are you prepared to do? Let's have a think about John the Baptist's message here. His whole ministry was one of preparing the way for the coming Messiah. Jesus is going to be born. My Bible actually, I don't know about yours, but my Bible actually has a title in front of chapter 3. It actually says here, John the Baptist prepares the way. What is John actually asking of his people? Well, it's interesting. John the Baptist has a very simple message. It's a sermon that is 9 words long. And I know you all long for the day when sermons are 9 words long. John has this amazing sermon. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Simple message. But what's he actually mean? Well, he starts off, repent. The Greek word used here for repentance is metanoiati. Literally means having a change of mind. Having a change of mind. John is saying to the crowd, "Hey guys, you know what? It's time to think differently. It's time to see things differently. It's time to let your current worldview change. I guess if you've been waiting 600 years for the coming Messiah, you begin to fall into a mindset that is very close, that it's not going to happen in your time, in your generation." John has to say, no, time to change what you are thinking, to see things differently. You know, we often think of repentance as in terms of saying sorry, don't we? But it's so much more than just saying sorry. Yes, sorry is part of that process of repentance, but it's so much more. It's about seeing life anew, understanding completely differently. And it's about being willing to have our worldviews changed. You know, part of the Christian life, it's great that we gather together on Sunday morning to listen to sermons because, by and large, a lot of what you hear affirms what you believe and encourages us and everything else. But there are times when you need to be prepared to let your worldview change because of the Word of God, to think differently. As John would say, to repent, have our minds changed. I guess in some ways it's the very opposite of being stubborn. And as human beings, we are all prone to a degree of stubbornness. It's about being malleable, about being flexible, about being open, about being changeable. Now, why did the crowds that John is speaking to need that change of mind? I think it is because they had settled into the status quo. Yes, we believe it's going to happen. Just not now. They'd accepted the present and perhaps had lost sight of the future. They'd stopped living in a state of preparedness for the Messiah. From a worldly point of view, who could blame them? 600 years is a long time. It's difficult to hold on to a promise for that length of time. They held out for the promise of the Messiah. They just didn't believe they would see it. Now, John stands on the stage and he says to them, it's coming. It's going to happen. It's now. Change your mindset. And I think some probably responded positively. Excuse me. In fact, we know that some responded positively. John baptized them as a sign of their repentance, as a sign of their change of view. They got themselves ready for Jesus. Others, though, dismissed John's message. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, the ones that should be most prepared, most ready, most open for the coming Messiah, they were the ones who turned out to be the most closed, the least prepared, the most stubborn, the most unwilling to change. You know, it's so easy to fall back on the familiar, to what has always been, the safety of our patterns and our traditions and our religious activity, that we end up not being prepared for God doing something new, something wonderful, something different. This is how we've always done things. It must be right. It's hard to keep changing all the time. And yet, in a way, that's what we're called to do all the time. The church does not ever, or should not ever, stand still. Because our God is living and active, his kingdom is growing, we need to be changing all the time. We don't just go through a period of change so that then we can settle down and enjoy it. We stay in a constant state of preparedness, which means we're constantly moving, we're constantly evolving, we're constantly adapting. We're constantly seeking ways of being relevant to a society that never stands still. That's being prepared. We've got to constantly be prepared for what comes next. You know, Jesus tells a parable in Matthew's gospel. Matthew 25. It's a rather bizarre parable. I mean, I'll read it to us. Matthew 25, verse 1 says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Therefore, be prepared, because you do not know the day or the hour. And there's a lot of cultural stuff. We're not going to go into that parable right now. There's a lot of cultural stuff that we could bring out. But at the heart of this, there were five virgins living in the moment, expecting nothing really to change. Our lamps are burning now. Future doesn't really matter. We don't know when the bridegroom is coming, so we'll be all right. And they were unprepared for the bridegroom. And they missed it. They were happy with the status quo. They were happy with the present, unprepared to invest in the future. So the challenge for us in reading that is to ask ourselves honestly, how prepared are we for what God is going to do? What are we prepared to do? Are we prepared to change? To have our mindsets changed? Are we prepared to live in a constant state of preparedness? What are you prepared to do? Are you prepared to change? What are you prepared to do? Secondly, what are you prepared for? It's interesting when John the Baptist challenges the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It says this in Matthew 3, verse 7 and 8. It says, "But when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance.'" Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, if repentance is having our minds changed, then what does that fruit look like? It means that if our minds change, our lives change. Our lifestyles change so that we bear fruit in life. Repenting, allowing our minds to change, should mean that we become fruitful for the kingdom. That we see the evidence of God working all around us. There's fruit that comes from being prepared. It's not that we're in a state of readiness and simply wait, as if being in a state of preparedness is a static thing. No. We're constantly moving forward. We talked about it last week when we were looking at the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is progressive. It's moving forward all the time. It's growing. It's expanding. If we live in a ready state, if we are prepared for God to do the miraculous in our lives, in our midst, today, tomorrow, the rest of the week, beyond, if we're prepared to have our minds changed, our lives will be changed. And we will see the evidence. There will be obvious evidence to accompany repentance. You know, I don't know what this church is going to look like in a year's time. I don't know who's going to be coming. Welcome. I don't know who's going to be coming. And I don't know how many new faces we're going to see. All I do know is that there are a lot of new faces here now that weren't here this time last year. And I love it. I love it. I don't know whether we're going to continue to grow at the rate we're growing. I hope we do. I hope we grow faster. I don't know if this time next year we're going to have more than one service on a weekend. Maybe we'll have Saturday breakfast and Sunday breakfast. Who knows? Wouldn't that be glorious? Some of you are going, "Oh, no." If we'd asked this question this time last year, I wouldn't have a clue where we'd been right now. I really wouldn't. I don't think I'd imagine us in the place that we are. I'd have hoped for it, maybe. I'm not sure I could have believed it at the time. You see, when we live lives prepared for change, God can do amazing things. It's when we're not prepared for change, or we're not prepared to change, that things get stuck. I don't want to be like that. I want to be ready. But here's the thing. Change can be really unsettling. All changes, if we're honest. There's always an element of change being not very easy. There's always difficulty and unease. But the change that John the Baptist talks about comes with a promise. He says, repent. In other words, change your mindset, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Has come near. The king is coming. The king has arrived. There may be changes ahead for us. There are many things that will challenge us as a faith community. We're going to have to be prepared to take on those challenges head on. We're going to need to be flexible. We're going to need to be malleable. We're going to need to adapt and stay relevant. But we do that all in the safety and guidance of the King of Kings who draws near to us. We don't go it alone. We walk in the footsteps of the King. It's his presence that makes change possible. It's his presence that causes kingdom fruit to grow. And so I ask you those two questions. What are you prepared to do? And what are you prepared for? Are you prepared to change? And are you prepared for change? You know, we're just a few very short weeks from celebrating the day when the world changed. What does John say in the beginning of his gospel? John 1, 9 to 14. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Hallelujah! Everything changed that first Christmas. The world changed and continues to change from that moment on. And so we are called in all circumstances to be prepared for the God who changes things. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father God, as we stand here at the beginning of Advent, we recognize the way the world changed that first Christmas. That light did indeed shine in the darkness. And the world has never been dark since. Your light shines out to this very day. I thank you for that amazing change. And Lord, we know that the work is not yet done. And so would you continue to mold and shape this church so that we might be an effective light to the community around us. We are prepared to change, and we are prepared for change, because we know that we walk in the footsteps of the King. And where you tread, it is good to follow. So help us, Lord. May 2020 be such a year of growth and kingdom expansion that we will look back in years to come and say, yes, we remember when that change happened. Father God, lead us forward in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Love you to bits. Excited for the future. I hope you are too. Thank you.